Well, I think we can go right into a testimony here. Brother Garrett Crawford is with us, and he was sharing a good testimony with me the other day, and we both thought about it at the same time, I think, that he should share it with all of you. And it was a very good and convicting testimony. And are you there, Garrett?
Yep.
God bless you, brother. Thank you so much for
joining
us.
God bless you. I agree, Dave. When I had finished the testimony and I mentioned coming on, you jumped right on that. I could tell it was right on the tip of your tongue.
Amen. It was, I thought, hey, everybody needs to be convicted like this, and I think that was really good. Praise God.
Yeah, this testimony is a really good testimony because it covers, three or four areas of, a Christian's walk. It covered things like provision, or salvation, having your needs met, obedience, healing, two of which are, good things. The obedience thing, and the correction isn't something we always want, but, it's needed and, it's very important to receive the other two. Without obedience, I don't think we can receive the provision and the healing. But, I guess, I'll tell the testimony and, bear with me, and Dave, if you want to interject something along the way, some wisdom along the way, be my guest. But I just want everybody to bear with me and listen to the whole story and just kind of see where it's going. It all ties in together. So I guess I'll start, back in the spring, I had taken a new job where I was going to be working, out of state a lot. And I was driving a Ford Taurus and I wanted to get another car that got better gas mileage. That's when, gas was really high. So I got a Toyota Celica and I paid, cash for it, about $2,000. And after buying it, I was driving about, probably 400 miles a day back and forth to work, and, the engine blew up on me. And, the engine blew up and I was just, kind of let down because I just bought this car and then, wasn't upset. I realized that, all things, come from the Lord and all things work out for good for those who love the Lord. And then, so that was my first kind of bad, bad running with the car. And then I went and, took what little money I had left and bought a little beater, to get me back and forth to work. And, when I had bought the car, it was a good little car. It was a Geo Prism with a good little Toyota engine and transmission. But, the guy was kind of slick that sold it to me and, but I still, I still cast it a lot to, buy the car. I was kind of uneasy about it, but I cast it a lot. The Lord said buy it and I bought it. And I found out later that, the car ran great. But I found out later that, the turn signals and, the brake light would not work. Only one brake light worked. And I had the most terrible time trying to get that thing to work. Like we even, tried to, change the bulbs and change the, multifunction switch and, we did a wiring test to see if it was even getting juice, and we just could not, find out what was going on with that thing. And, this whole time from about, maybe May until just here recently, I'm driving this little Geo with, no turn signals and, one brake light. And, knowing that it wasn't the Lord's best for me, to be doing that, for one, safety-wise, and two, just because it's just, it's probably not lawful to do that, but I would signal the best I could with my hands, and it was just a really weak, put me in weakness to, to be driving that thing, and really wasn't too pressed about it, but I knew that it was only a matter of time before a cop eventually had, saw me and gave me a ticket. Well, a month ago, I guess, about 3 weeks, a month ago, I had eventually, gotten pulled over right in front of my house, out of all places. And I live in a small little town with, just one gas, like two gas stations and, that's it. It's a little town, like one cop in the town. And all the places I drove with this car, the place I got a ticket was my town, like 500 feet from my house. And he pulled me over because of all the light you know, failures and things like that, and, you know, gave me a ticket. And after that, that was like the last straw. That's when I really started saying, like, you know, Lord, I need a reliable car, you know, that's legal at the very least. You know, and I wasn't really wanting, you know, anything super nice. I just wanted something reliable. And, you know, I'd kind of been thinking about it and, you know, kind of meditating on it, knowing that, you know, I had left my other job where I was making a lot more money, where I could have, you know, paid cash for a car with one paycheck, you know, pretty nice car, but I left that job, you know, because I wanted to kind of, get out of sales, and, I started working another job, and, you know, we're making a decent wage, but not nearly enough to, you know, buy a car, and, you know, I wasn't going to go in debt to do it, wasn't going to go and put the Lord's money in the bondage, you know, go, you know, buy here, pay here, or even take out a loan. I knew the Lord's best for me was just to pay cash. You know, the Bible says, owe no man nothing except, you know, to give him love. So, you know, I was just thinking on these things and meditating and, you know, still driving the Geo over these last 3 weeks with the lights out. And, remember going down the road and I saw a Honda Civic pass me. And, I saw it and I was like, yeah, I've heard those are really good cars. And, they, you know, they are. You know, they're still on the road today, a lot of them with 250, 300,000 miles. And, you know, this car passed me, and I had prayed. I said, Lord, and I said, Father, I said, I would like a Honda Civic. I know I need a car. This was nothing about, you know, wanting a car. If I was in need of one. And I said, well, Lord, since I know you're going to provide, I have a suggestion. You know, you could choose to give it to me or not. It's up to you. But I said, I would like a Honda Civic. And, you know, then I kind of, you know, I'm not saying forgot about it, but I had, you know, kind of, you know, moved on. And over the last 3 weeks, I had, you know, really started geared more towards, you know, maybe making a move to get a car. And, so I had eventually, over the weekend, felt the Lord urge me to sell my car. And so I sold it. And, you know, over the last, you know, from about, you know, the last week, I was looking at cars, you know, in the classified section from private owners, and I was looking to see what I could sell my car for. Well, I had eventually sold my car, you know, for about $600. Which is about what I paid for it after I put some money into it. And then I had my money and I was looking at other cars. And I'm just being honest, like, I was just the biggest ball of nerves, like, trying to find a car. Because I only had about, you know, maybe about $900 to $1,000 to spend. And I wasn't going to go into debt. I was going to pay cash, you know, and I was just the biggest, like, just, you know, was like, couldn't find anything. When I would go look at a car, wasn't what I thought. You know, I would call a person and work out a deal, and then he would call me back and say he didn't want to do it, or his wife said he needed to sell the car for more. A guy told me he was going to let me be the first one in to look at the car in the morning. He ended up selling it, and all these things. And just every door was closed that I tried to open myself. And I'm just being honest, like, I was trying to work this out by the flesh. Now, I know it's not wrong to look for a car. I know some people would be like, well, what are you going to do, just sit there and not do anything? I understand that. But I was going the extra mile trying to do it myself. Like, I was just really in my mind just being compulsive about it, trying to just find a car and, you know, try to do it by my own strength. Now, if I had $10,000, that would be easy, but I had just a minimal amount of money to buy a reliable car. And that, you know, that's hard to do. And so, you know, I spent like 2 or 3 days and I was just exhausted. So by Saturday night, I had just given up and I realized, you know, there's no way that I'm going to be able to find a car, you know, that's, in my price range and reliable. And, you know, I wasn't even looking for a Honda Civic. I was just a shot in the dark. I asked the Lord. I wasn't even focusing on that. I'll tell you what that comes in later. So or here right now. And so, you know, when I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent, Lord, I was trying to do this by my own works and trying to find a car. I know this is going to have to be you. And I said, I give up. And I said, I'm just going to give up, Lord, and stop looking for a car and, you know, go back to work and maybe save some more money to pay, to have a, you know, to have, you know, maybe an extra $500 to $1,000 for a car, because $900, $1,000 or so isn't enough to get a car around here that's reliable. And, so I just gave up and I felt such a peace and rest about it. Like, I just felt so good about it, about the decision that, you know, the Lord had led me to make. And so I'm laying in bed and it's getting about 8:30 at night and this had been the Lord. And I was looking on this page called Craigslist. It's a, like a worldwide classified section. It's really helpful to find all kinds of neat stuff for cheap. I mean, anything you can imagine. And it's a really basic site. It's really easy to navigate. And, so like something led me to go one more time, check it one more time. And I just felt such a peace about it. And I went and checked it. And as soon as I checked it, there was a 1997 Honda Civic for $1,000 on there. And I was like, wow. And, you know, I don't know anybody knows about cars. You know, those cars, even at the lowest rate on a fair conditions, worth probably three times that. So when I saw that car, I was just amazed. I was like, whoa. And I called the guy instantly. And, you know, he's like, you know, you're the second person to call. And I was like, you know, I want to come in there and at least see it. Yeah, because I was like, this is the car. I knew it. In my heart of hearts, I'm like, this is the car. Once I had given up, like, really, like, I had given up. And then the Lord said, all right, now I'm going to move. So it was pretty neat. I knew that. And so, you know, Craigslist is just a feeding frenzy of people. They constantly monitor that site, you know, looking for deals. And that guy had, like, 100 calls for that car. I mean, literally, he told me he did. Even when, so the next morning when I went in there, I was the first person at his house. And it was a nice little Honda Civic and with not too many high miles. And it just, you know, it was just the deal of the century for $1,000. And, you know, he was even getting phone calls and people texting him while I was there. And, you know, the first person I know would have bought the car. But the Lord gave me favor. It was all by the Lord. There's no way I could have done this. It was all by the Lord. He gave me favor to get in there. And he got me the car, and I bought the car. And I took it home. Well, he was supposed to give me the title the next day. Now, let me just, you know, kind of give a foundation. You know, over the course of looking for a car, a couple of people made suggestions to me, like when I was trying to buy these other cars, like, hey, you know, they're trying to be buddy-buddy with me, trying to sweeten the pot. And they were like, hey, you know, what we're going to do is, you know, if you buy the car, I'll just put on the title $100. So you ain't going to pay all those taxes. And I was just, you know, I didn't want to, they were worldly people. I didn't want to, like, you know, correct them. But I just thought in my mind, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to, you know, I can't do that to the Lord. You know, I need all the help I can get, and I can't be cutting corners. And the Lord provided a way. I just knew that, you know, I was put in a position. And I kind of prepared myself for this, like literally, even the night before, that I actually was going to pick up the title, I was just like kind of convinced in my mind that I was going to, you know, tell him to put the full amount on the car. Now, the car was $950, got it for $950, and I had just like a little bit of money, I had like a couple $100 left over. You know, to last me, you know, for like 2 weeks for gas and stuff. So I got paid next. So, you know, it would just settle in my mind. You know, it wasn't even a battle to where I was like, oh, I don't want to do it. I want to save money. I just knew that I had to do it. I wanted to do it. And I feel like it's a very, I have the understanding that it's a very common thing out here when people buy used cars that they, you know, do that. Like if they buy a car for $1,500, they'll put $200 or $100. I just think it's like something that people just don't even think it's, they just take it for granted. But the Bible tells us, let me just read this verse here in Romans 13, I think. It, you know, tells us to, you know, pay every, you know, every tax, every ordinance, you know, that, that God has ordained. I don't have the scripture in front of me, but it said that, you know, that God has ordained government and, you know, ordained authority, and, you know, we're supposed to pay our taxes, all tax. And, you know, even the scribes and Pharisees, or the scribes tried to, you know, tempt Jesus, and they said, I think they said this because this is a very important issue of the day. I think this was probably talked around many dinner tables and whatnot back then. That's why they brought it to him. I think this was a very important question. And I think when they asked this question, a lot of people gathered around because they really wanted to hear the answer. And they asked him, you know, should they, you know, pay tribute to Caesar? You know, knowing that Caesar was a dictator, a beast, conquering the people that, you know, and Jesus said, you know, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, but render unto God what is God's. And, you know, that was coming from, you know, the Messiah, but I think it didn't make sense to a lot of people because they realized, you know, Rome was a brutal, you know, beast government that had brought them in bondage. But, you know, Jesus knew God's sovereignty that, you know, God has put them in there, and God wants us to, you know, follow every ordinance of man. You know, obviously that doesn't supersede God's ordinance, but, you know, let's be honest, a paying a tax doesn't supersede any of God's ordinances. It just makes us, I think, look more blameless in the sight of the world, so they don't have any reason to accuse us of being swindlers or anything. And you know, let's just be honest, it's not our money anyway, so we're just, you know, paying the tax for the Lord, so we're just being stewards.
You want me to share that verse you were looking for? Is Romans 13, 6 and 7. I'll read that. It says, "For this cause you pay tribute also, for they are ministers of God's service, attending continually upon this very thing. Render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, a custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, save to love one another."
Yeah, I mean, that's just so clear. I mean, that covers everything. You can't get out of that. And so, and I knew that, and, you know, so, I hate to keep rambling on, but let me just get to the point. I had, you know, met the guy in, at the DMV that morning. And when I had met him, you know, I got out of my car, he got out of his vehicle, and I was just gonna, you know, clear up any misunderstanding right away. Because I knew this is something that people just always do. And I wanted to make sure he knew that I wasn't gonna do this. And I said, before he even got out of his truck, I was like, "Hey, listen, I know everybody does this, but I don't wanna do this." I said, I want you to write the full amount of the car on the title. And he's like, "I understand." And he gets out of his truck and he says, "Well, listen," he goes, we already filled out the title and we put down $100. And I took the title and I already had $100 down. And I was like, oh man. And I was kind of like, well, what do I do? And I was about to walk in the title place to get my title. And I was like, well, what do I do? And I was like, well, I, you know, can't, you know, forge the title, like, right over it. I mean, if it was, like, if I paid $1,000 for the car, I guess I could have wrote another zero, but the number said $100, and I paid $950, and it would have been a really masterful job to make that look like a $950. And I'm just being honest, looking back now, I did wrong, because I just let it go. But in my mind at the time, I said, well, there's nothing I could do about it. It's already, you know, written. I can't, you know, change the title. And, you know, I would have had a new title made up, and I just said, well, it's out of my hands now, and there's nothing I can do. But I realized now it was a test to see what I was going to do. And, you know, I failed the test, obviously, but, you know, there's a redemption at the end of the story, you know, by God's grace. So I was just like, well, Lord, you know, you put me in a position where nothing I could do, but I really could have, because I really could have demanded we fix it, even though it would have took a long time, but knowing now, I would have done that. So I took the title in the DMV, because here's the thing. I thought that my hands were clean. I thought I could just take the title in there and they would just process it and it'd be fine. And I would not have to, like, get involved anyway because I didn't write it. But here's the thing. It's like God made me get involved and made me sin because of my lack of boldness and standing up for the truth in the beginning. So I got in there and I gave her the title and, you know, she was asking me a series of questions I think they always ask when they're given a title. And, you know, I'm in there just like, you know, la-di-da, just kind of, you know, waiting to get the title. And she looks at the, and she's going through the series of questions, and one of her questions was, she goes, so you pay $100 for the car. And as soon as she said that, she wanted an answer. And as soon as she said that, my heart sunk, like, and fear gripped me. And I was like, oh, no, I was like, it was like in a movie where, like, time slows down and, like, the camera zeroes in on you, and you're just like, what do I do? Because, you know, you feel like everybody's watching me, and it was just a split second, and all these things raced through my mind. And I just blurted out, yes. And I lied. And I'm not going to beat her on the bush. I lied. And even though it wasn't premeditated, I lied. And as soon as I said that, I was like, my heart sunk, and I just had such dread fall upon me. I mean, because I just want to make this clear, you know, I'm by no means, you know, manifestly perfect, but I don't lie. I know that's something we can do, and I try my best to speak truth all the time. And, you know, I make mistakes, but lying is something we just can't do. Even what people call little white lies. And, so when I said that, I said it out of like fear because, you know, I was like, oh, what am I going to say? No. And then she started asking questions and, you know, haul us off to jail for title fraud. I just was all these thoughts racing through my mind. So everything went off without a hitch, and I got my title and my tags, and I left. And the whole time, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I just lied. I'm like, Garrett, God gave you this awesome blessing and blessed you with this, and you lied. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I just was like, oh, what do I do? And so, like, you know, I went home. And I was just like, oh, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And I was just like, well, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to just take the money and, you know, the money that the balance of, you know, I think it was like 50 or 60 bucks. I'm just going to sell it. I'm just going to take it, show the Lord that, you know, send about the money with me, that I'm going to, you know, redeem myself by taking the money and selling to a ministry or giving it away just to make sure the money was out of my hands. But I asked for I cast a lot in the Bible to see what the Lord wanted me to do with how to fix this or how to atone for it. And he showed me a verse, and the verse spoke to me that I was supposed to, it was clear as day. I don't want to get into it because I want to finish this up. But the verse spoke to me that I was supposed to pay them back, the people that I had done wrong, which was the title, the county. Like, I'm supposed to, and that made sense. I'm supposed to pay them back because I took from them. Because I stole from them. I'm just being honest. I stole from them when I was complicit in that act. I stole from them. And I just want people to understand that, you know, when we don't pay taxes, we're stealing. You know, that's serious. And, you know, being a Christian isn't about, you know, what we can, you know, being a Christian isn't about how much we can get away with and still have a good conscience. You know, we have to almost go out of our way a lot of times, to be honest, because, you know, it's so easy to not be honest, even in the little things. But it's like, as we grow in the Lord, our conscience gets, like, supercharged, and we're so sensitive. We should be so sensitive to every little thing to keep a good conscience as we grow. I'm not trying to, you know, for him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And I knew, and sin fell square on my shoulders in this. So, you know, after I cast a lot, I realized that, you know, I'd done wrong and I needed to pay them back. And I was going to do it without, you know, without any doubt. But I said, you know, Lord, I only have, you know, about $200 left in my name to last me 2 weeks so I get paid. And I'm like, you know, I really don't have the money to do it. And although I really did, I would have left me with, like no money, but I could have done it. I had the money. I just kind of said, well, Lord, you know, I'm going to pay, but next time, you know, I'll put it off. I'll I'll send the money in 2 weeks. And I, you know, kind of forgot about it. And, you know, that night I was talking to a brother in the Lord, and, you know, he's a newer convert, and I'm really blessed by his growth. But I was telling him the story about, you know, what was going on, and I felt convicted, and he was kind of like, you know, kind of like, wow, man, you're pretty far out there with this. He goes, man, what you're talking about is perfection. You know, almost like it was a bad thing. And, you know, like the heaviness that I felt in my heart and the conviction because of this thing that really seemed out of my control, but really wasn't. And just because of my maybe lack of, you know, steadfastness and like wanting to do the right thing. And he's like, man, you're talking about perfection, man. He's like, that's, you know, cause to him that seemed almost like ridiculous to worry about. You know, everybody forges under title tax when buying a used car. You know, he said to me, he said, it's like speeding. He's like, everybody does it. And, you know, as soon as he said that, he confessed to me, he's like, man, that sounded really stupid. So he was getting revelation, too, that, you know, that we're not supposed to, you know, look and act like the world because everybody does something. And we had a good conversation. We both came to an understanding. And I thought about it, and I said, I thought about it, and it's not about perfection. It's just about obedience. You know, perfection is something such a lofty thing. It's such a unattainable thing. It's like the Holy Grail. But let's not, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, I mean, forgive me, Lord, if I'm not saying the right thing here, but if it's too lofty for you to think about it as perfection, then don't. Think about it just as obedience. If you're obedient in what you know, then the Lord, in my understanding, will consider you perfect, mature. You're doing what you know to do. You know, when we, you know, perfection is a scary word. Let's not think about it like that. Think about just being obedient. And it'll be a lot easier in your mind to get around that. I mean, am I wrong, David? Am I saying something that's not right? Or?
Well, it's living before the Lord, you know. I mean, some people, you know, it's like they're living before men because they're only impressed with something if somebody's looking, you know. But, hey, God's looking all the time, you know. He's with us, so, you know, we're to be holy and separate from the world. And, of course, we make a home for him as we walk in holiness and don't grieve the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah. I'm just trying to say, you know, the perfection thing is what scares people. They feel, you know, they don't even want to try to be perfect. But I look at it just as like, let's be obedient every little thing. And the result will be perfection. So, you know, we had to talk about it, and, you know, but everybody was like, all right, well, you know, you got a car, great. But there's an awesome testimony. I just had to lay a foundation. There's an awesome testimony coming, folks. So just hold on. Bear with me.
Well, it's love, isn't it? You know, Garrett, it's love. You know, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If we love him, it's important to us to be pleasing unto him.
I agree totally. We have been bought into slavery. We are, you know, I mean, we are slaves. We have a master, and he's a good master, but we have to follow his orders. You know, like I told my friend, I'm like, listen, I'm like, life is hard. And I need an advocate, because he was asking me why I was making such a big deal about this, because I realized, you know, like, you know, life is hard. Life for a Christian is hard, because Jesus promised us persecution, tribulation, and trial. And I need all the help I can get from the Lord. If I want to live this holy life in Christ Jesus, I need his help. And I can't be cutting corners I can't be cutting corners about anything. I want to be obedient in all things, and I'm still growing, but I understand that one tenet of the faith, that we have to be obedient in all things. We're disciples. And we have to discipline ourselves and be obedient, and he'll help us. You know, it's he's an advocate, and we want to please him, and he'll help us out. He'll give us the grace to be strong. And we can't, it's like, I thought about this, you know, we can't expect to get from the Lord if we are ourselves are not, you know, like doing everything possible. Like, like I said, you know, if you brother have something against thee and you want to give your gift on the altar, you know, go first and make it right with him and then give your gift. You know, likewise, it's like, you know, we can't expect to, you know, we can't expect to get blessings or expect to come before the Lord if we're not, like, you know, making things right, that we know maybe that are, like, the, you know, little things in our life that we're, like, kind of overlooking. So, you know, we had a conversation, it was a good conversation, and, you know, the next morning, I had went to work, and this is when the story gets really good. I had went to work, and I came home, and my dog, and see, I know everybody's, well, I hope so. I mean, I had a dream over 3 months ago that on, you know, basically in the time frame of Shemini Azeret, which was between October 20th and the 21st, that, and David read the dream, that I had a dog, and the dog transformed into another dog. And this dog, I saw it was a little black, fluffy dog, little puppy. And you know, man of God in the dream told me that something was going to happen on this timing. So, you know, it happened. Like, I actually got this dog, not because I went on, got it. It was given, you know, basically to me on this date. So, and they would give the interpretation this dog represents life, new life, something personally to me, you know, my maybe new spiritual life, you know, new beginning. And, you know, the dream's on there. It's about the dog. But so when I got home, this dog was sick. This prophetic dog that I was given was sick. And I was like, what's going on, man? But see, I've been working out of town for the last week. I was out of town. And when I came back, and then this dog got real skinny. And it was real bony. And I was like, that's weird. And I didn't really think anything. And so, Saturday night, you know, after I got back from the title place, the dog started getting, and I think this has a spiritual significance. I think you guys can help you guys to see it. Well, after I got back from the title place, the dog started getting worse. It started, like, throwing up a lot and diarrhea. It was dry heaving. It was always puking up stuff. And it was just really weird. So the next day, it was yesterday, I came off work and I got home, and my mom was like, Garrett, there's something seriously the matter with the dog. And when I walked in the door, the dog jumped up to see me. She's like, Garrett, that's the first time my dog's moved all day. She goes, I'm really worried about her. Her name's Zoe. And we call her Zozo. And she goes, or my mom does, and, you know, I just think that's neat too, because it sounds almost like Zozo, salvation. Soteria. And so, and she's like, Gary, the dogs are really sick. And I was like, yeah, I noticed that. I'm like, I noticed he got real skinny. She goes, she won't eat. She's laid here all day. I can't get her to eat anything or drink anything. She's had diarrhea. She's been puking. And I was like, wow. And we got really concerned. And I noticed this dog was not doing too good. Like, he was taking a quick downfall. And I was just like, okay, Lord, what's going on with this? You know, I mean, I know you're just not going to go to all this trouble for me to stream, wait 3 months, bring it to pass with a great, awesome testimony, and then have the dog die. Because the dog, I'm telling you what, folks, the dog was severely, it was on its deathbed. The dog was dying. I mean, I'm not even kidding you. The dog was literally dying. And so that whole day yesterday, we're sitting there, and the dog got worse and worse. And my mom started calling a person she got the dog from. It was a breeder. And, you know, and she started, you know, mom did some research. And we realized the dog had parvo. And I had, you know, remember years ago when I had brought a stray dog home. And I all the symptoms the dog had, it was parvo. And the dog eventually died a few days later, or they had to kill it. This dog was manifesting the same symptoms as this other dog. You know, you feed it, and then it pukes up immediately afterwards. It can't, no matter how thirsty or hungry it is, it can't keep it down. And it'll eventually not even want to drink or eat anything. And then I called David, and I was like, you know, and I've, you know, been in fellowship with David. You know, we talk, you know, maybe once every couple of weeks, but I've never felt the need to call David and ask for prayer. Like, you know, I, that's, you know, he's a great witness to have in prayer. But I really just a lot of times just, you know, pray and believe myself. But this time I was like, wow, this is serious. So I called David and I said, David, you know, I need you to agree with me in prayer for this dog. You know, mainly because of such the prophetic significance the dog had. I was seeing it die. And even as me and David were praying, the dog was, like, getting worse on the bed. It was moaning. I don't know if David could have heard it on the phone, but the dog was, like crying. This dog was only, you know, it was born in September, like, 8th. So, it's still a puppy. And my heart was breaking for this dog. I mean, it was, like, crying while I was on the phone with David, talking about David. And I told David the symptoms, and David, you know, confirmed it was part of it, you know, and so, you know, me and Dave prayed, and I prayed, and Dave prayed, and we agreed. And, you know, Dave even shared a testimony of Bob McCarty, you know, his dog being healed of parvo. And I remember, I think, years ago here, maybe in the last year here, in a Bible study of years ago, where David said that. But, we just agreed. You know, David told me, the dog was, that disease is terminal. And he was only saying that as just, you know, it's just a natural statement. He wasn't receiving it or believing it. And I said, he said, that's terminal disease. And I said, well, David, we've seen more miracles, bigger miracles than that. He goes, I agree. And he goes, let's pray. And we prayed, and I felt really good about it. But after we prayed, we hung up. Like, something broke in the spiritual. Something was set loose. And the Lord revealed to me that I had sin, and my sin was that tax. I had not paid that tax. And I was like, I had the revelation, it dawned on me. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I realized we prayed this, and people, listen to me, this dog was dying. It was literally dying. It couldn't move. It was getting worse and worse. It couldn't even move. I mean, the dog was dying. And I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, what do I do? And I was like, I need to go pay that money right now. And it would have meant that it would have put me in a financial hardship, but I knew the Lord will provide a way no matter what. And he has, like, I realized my finances weren't as bad as I thought, but, and so I was like, Lord, what do I do? And it was like a race against time. The dog was dying. I realized that even though we prayed in agreement, because of my sin, that my prayer was in like an escrow account. Like, until I paid that price, or, you know, Bible says if we willfully sin after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more a sacrifice of sins. Whose sacrifice? It was Christ's sacrifice that covers our sins. But it goes on, but we should expect it's a fearful expectation of wrath that will devour the adversaries. You know, the same wrath that comes on the unrepentant world, unrepentant Christians, that will come on the most holy of Christian if he has willful sin. You know, we step off from that blood and we have to pay for it. And the Lord reminded me, he spoke me this verse, the story of David when he sinned with Bathsheba. His son died. And the Lord, I was like, oh my gosh. And I saw in this parable, the dog was like my son. Now, you know, I'm not one of these people that are like big dog people, like, that are really like obsessed with the dog and doing all kinds of stuff with the dog and dressing up. But I saw all the spiritual stuff about it, but I saw this dog, as like David's son. And I saw it was like, more importantly, my spiritual life. Because if you guys read the interpretation of the dog, it represents my new spiritual life that's about to come forth in all of our lives, which we really believe it's coming forth very soon. And I saw my spiritual man dying, if you guys can receive it. That dog is a physical parable of my spiritual man, and it was dying because of this sin that I had not, wouldn't say paid for, but that I didn't make up for. I could have paid back, but I hesitated to wait. So I was just like in, it was, I was like down, like, to the wire. Dog's dying. I realized I got to make this right. The dog's going to die. My prayer, me and David's prayer agreement, which was going to happen, but I need to make this right before it could come to pass. So I'm scrambling, and I'm like, well, what do I do? I said, should I go to tell her and explain to her what happened, or should I just, send them the money? And I flipped it, cast the lot, and the Lord said, send them the money in the mail. So I was like running, scrambling around, getting the address and going to the post office, going to my bank, and just, it was almost like Zipporah in Exodus when, it said that, I wrote the verse down. It was, Exodus 4 and 24 through 25, where, it said that the Lord sought to kill Moses because he displeased him somehow, but because of Zipporah's quick action, she cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet. And the Bible said the Lord left him alone. So I was having like a Zipporah moment where I'm like scrambling around, trying to save this dog's life. And, I got everything done. And I, went to the post office, went to my bank, mailed it, put the money order in the mail, wrote him a letter, told him what happened. So, any government agent that's trying to come after me for title tax fraud, I paid the debt. Okay. It's paid. I didn't do anything wrong now. Okay. So, I paid it and I got home and I was so relieved. I realized now, Lord, it's up to you. And after that happened, after I did that, the dog, looked like it was getting worse. But I just said, I don't receive it. And the whole time, here's the thing, I was saying, I don't receive it. She's healed by Christ, healed by the stripes of Christ. But I had that sin. And I didn't realize that it was hindering until we prayed, the Lord revealed to me. So it's like, even my confession of faith through the whole time before that, it was worthless. It didn't matter how bold I was. Because I had that splinter, that kink, it hindered everything.
If our heart condemn us not, the Bible says, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments, right?
Yeah. And so once the Lord revealed to me my sin, I didn't have boldness no more. Because I realized that my heart was condemning me. And so when I made it right, I felt peace. I realized, wow, Lord, it was like, dodged the bullet there. And, cause the dog was dying, people. I'm telling you, the dog was literally dying. And, when I got back from the post office, my mom was really worried about the dog again, because the dog, like, at this point was like in a coma. It was like in a comatose state. And it was like not moving or nothing. And the dog was dehydrated, had a drink of water, anything. We'd like force water down his throat during the day, and we'd puke it up. So when, I just praise God for this. I just thank you, Lord. And so I got back, and the dog was like in a coma state for like 2 hours. But I was believing, and I had boldness again. And, me and David prayed, and I had the Lord revealed to me to fix my wrong, and I did it. And so, after about 2 hours, I walked outside and I walked back in, and the door shut behind me. And the dog's head rose up. And it was, I was like, wow, the dog's responsive. And I was like, huh. And the Lord inspired me to go and get a little bit of peanut butter on my finger and put it. And this dog wouldn't eat anything, even when you put like milk in front of it, didn't want to drink it. And puppies love milk. And so after this, I put a little bit of peanut butter. And I put it on my finger, and it started licking it, like, ferociously. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And this dog's appetite was back. And I took the dog, and I put it on the ground in front of a bowl of water, and it started drinking water. And this dog would not touch water or food. It was almost like it was poison to it. It wouldn't touch it, probably because it knew it would throw back up. I don't know what Paula does to the inner system, but really, throws it through a loop. And the dog was just like coming alive. The dog was drinking, and we were ecstatic. We're like, give him more peanut butter, give him more peanut butter. And I just, because it was just licking the peanut butter like crazy. Like it was almost biting my finger off. And it was drinking water. And I was like, oh my gosh. And the dog, and we fed it and we gave it more water. And the dog was odd moving around and it was walking. I mean, this dog was like in a coma like 2 hours ago, like couldn't, like lifeless. And then we started waiting and then, it didn't throw it up. It held it down. And then a few minutes after that, it pooped on the floor. But we weren't mad. It was his first solid bowel movement in a long time. And we were like just so happy that it pooped solid stool, even though it was on our carpet. We didn't care. The dog was living. And over the course of like the next few hours, the dog just got more and more strong. And the dog started playing and running around and eating, and it started eating like ferociously. And its little belly got full, and this dog was a bag of bones. I mean, I could see, like, its bones sticking through, and when you would feel it, it felt like a little skeleton, like a little Holocaust victim. My heart was broken for it. And I called David, and I wanted to make sure, but I waited a few more hours, and I called David, and I said, David, the dog is healed. And he said, well, praise God, you know, this is nothing new to David. It was new to me, because this is something huge. And because David had already seen Bob's Acardi's dog heal a parvo, and over the during the night the dog got real frisky and was playing and barking and then I woke up this morning the dog was even more and the dog's healed. There is no symptom or sign of anything that was ailing it, you know, for the past you know whatever. You know, they say parvo takes 2 weeks to fully manifest. I saw the symptoms of it a week ago with the lack of appetite, getting dehydrated, skinny, but the death didn't start setting into the last couple of days. But I mean, just praise God, the dog was healed. And the Lord gave me such a valuable lesson. And this is the lesson. He put such a high premium on obedience. It's crucial. I don't know why sometimes, like, maybe a Christian is maybe disobedient, low area, but they don't reap the reward right away. I was literally reaping the reward of my failure to pay the tax. I was reaping the reward of it right away. I think if every Christian had the understanding that, you know, like, there's a cause and effect, and it happens immediately afterwards. I praise God that He showed me the effect of it immediately, and all these things are coming to pass because of my action, because of my choice. And I just praise God for that. Like, He puts such a high premium on obedience, and telling the truth, and just the crucifying the flesh, you know, going on your way to be honest. And I just was like, it's a comforting thing because I think, I don't know, I just, there's more to learn from this, obviously, in the days ahead for me, but I just thank God for this lesson and that I praise God for the healing, you know, for the dog.
Amen.
You know, because even though it was my dog, I'm just, you know, let's be honest, nobody likes to see anything die. Nobody likes to see anything suffer. And I was watching this dog suffer and die. And I've really come into the understanding of, like, you know, supernatural healing in the past year and a half. And, but there's, you know, hindrances to that. And I just praise God that He allowed me to see clearly, you know, my mistake in order to, you know, open up the blessing. And, you know, I'm sure you want to add a couple things, David. I'll let you maybe add something.
Well, you know, it's been my experience over the years that when God's telling you to do something and you're in a situation where He's spanking you, there's awesome miracles and power in the fact that you go and do what He told you to do. If it's, repentance of any kind, you know, if it's forgiving someone or whatever, you know, you get awesome miracles when you do what God is telling you to do. And when you do really repent, you know, repent is changing your mind, turning and going the other way, right?
Yeah.
So many people are being hindered from receiving something from God because they won't repent. And repentance means, you know, changing your mind and obeying, you know. So many times God is speaking in their spirit, in their conscience, to do something, to make things right with someone, like you pointed out in Matthew chapter 5, you know, and then come before God with your prayers. You pointed that out very well, and it's so true. It's so true. I one of them that's popping into my head right now is an awesome miracle I saw of a young girl who was dying of cancer. She had it in 5 organs, and she was just a bag of bones. And the Lord impressed me to speak to her about confessing her sins. And her mom and dad were standing right there over her. And I was ready to pray for her, but I wanted her to confess her sins first. And so she did. She did a very good job. I was amazed, you know, and she confessed her sins to her mom and dad and what she'd said and done and things in the past. And she just went through and cleaned the slate, you know, so to speak. And, you know, I really felt the power of God come out of me when I prayed over her, because this is what the Lord wanted for her. He, you know, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. And this was the problem. This is what was keeping it, you know, and it is for a lot of people that are listening right now. God may want you to repent of something. He may want you to confess your sin. He may want you to forgive someone. He might want you to go and make things right with your brother. And so she did that, and when I prayed, I felt the real power of God just like going like electricity down my arms, you know. And this girl, within a very short period of time, she was up doing everything that she'd been doing before. Just a miraculous turnaround. And everybody was so amazed, you know, that she could be dying on her deathbed, you know, like I said, 5 organs that had cancer in them. And suddenly everything turned around. And she had no cancer, and she was doing everything she needed to be doing, and, you know, swimming and playing sports and all that in just a couple of weeks. You know, she was back to doing these things. Well, I knew what it was. It was so many people neglect to do that one thing that God is asking of them, which is repent. And she really repented, and God really answered her. You know, and it was that way with you, Garrett, and it will be that way with a lot of people out there that are listening. You know, if you do what God told you to do, you go make things right with your brother, you go forgive, you repent, you restore what you've taken or whatever, you know, whatever God tells you to do. And God will be there. He will be there. And that's a great testimony.
You know, I'll wrap this up, but I was running of Zacchaeus. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus?
Mm-hmm. Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus, you know, just on what you're saying, you know, when the Lord beckoned him, or he said, Lord, you know, he's like, you know, he repented in his mind, but here's the thing he said. He said, if I've done any man wrong, I've given him fourfold,
mm-hmm.
and I've given half my possessions to the poor. You know, he just didn't have a repentant heart. He made it right. What I'm realizing is, you know, I felt bad about doing wrong, and in my heart I was repentant, but God was waiting for me to do the action of repentance, mm-hmm. to make it right. I think a lot of Christians feel bad or feel guilty, but they don't go and make it right.
What did the Lord say to the people around when Zacchaeus said that? He said, this day is salvation come to this house.
Exactly, the house.
Yes.
And that's the thing, too. Like, I realize, you know, like the dog. It's a dog, but it's in my household. And, you know, so that's another thing, too. Like, over your property and your goods. But, you know, that's just so clear. I just, the Lord spoke to me that the other night when this was first manifesting, that, you know, it's not just, you know, feeling guilty or saying, or even confessing it, even saying, Lord, I'm sorry, you know, that's the first thing. If it's in your ability or your power to go and make it the thing right, like when you steal, like when you have done somebody wrong to where you could do it, make it right. That's where the true crucifixion comes in. I mean, let's be honest, it doesn't crucify the flesh too much to say you're sorry, but it does to go out of your way to make it right. Because sometimes, like, when you offend a brother, and I mentioned this to you the other day, it's either, you know, one of the writings of Solomon, it said, it's easier to win back a brother than to take a walled city. Or to that effect. So, you know, it's like, when we offend a brother, you know, we have to go and make it right. And, you know, they might not receive it, but God knew that our actions were noble, and we went out of our way to humble ourselves and make it right. And, you know, it's like that with anything. So, you know, I bet we can go on about this all night. I know there's, you know, other people that want to give a testimony and probably a teaching, but I just want to praise God. I mean, I've never seen such a dramatic healing in all my life. I mean, if you guys would have been here watching the dog was on the verge of death, and it was healed. And it wasn't because of anything I did; it was all the Lord. But I learned a valuable lesson, and I have a value, have a very, very high understanding of obedience in all things. See, that's the thing. I realized that even a person could have said, "Oh, well, Garrett, it was out of your control, this and that." We got to go out of our way to be honest. We got to go out of our way. We're Christians. We're supposed to be Christ-like, and we're supposed to. It's supposed to be hard for us. Going out of your way to do things the right way is hard sometimes, but that's what we're called to do. And we're supposed to crucify the flesh. And so I realize now it's like, you know, this is a high calling, and even the small things we have to be accountable for, even the very smallest.
Amen.
Now, if you don't know to know, then the Lord will work with you, because, you know, for him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So, not trying to put anybody under the wall to keep the whole wall when they don't know it, but what the Lord has spoke to you and you don't do it, that's what I'm saying.
Amen.
And I think as we grow, we will know a lot more than what we did maybe, you know, in times past.
You know, Garrett, it says in Revelation 21:8 that, God said, and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. See, it's pretty serious with God, you know, when he says that, and all liars, you know, it's like, oh, that's okay, you know. I mean, we think, because it's so common around us, that it's okay, you know. But, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and right here, he talks about it, and, you know, it's just not okay with God. I mean, he's the one we got to please. You know, so
it's so serious. I realize that. I mean, this is, and I'm glad, you know, one last thing. I'm glad that the Lord showed me quickly the penalty for my sin. Like, I was trying to make the point, like, I think some people, maybe the punishment doesn't come quickly, or they don't understand it as the punishment. I knew right away, I knew through the Lord's grace, this was either punishment or, you know, whatever. It was a direct result of my action, you know. And so I'm so glad that, you know, the Lord showed me that, and the Lord gave me a way out to make it right.
Amen.
So, and I just praise God, and I thank you. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, anybody out there, you know, that the Lord has spoken something to your mind, you know, to make right some kind of a way, do it. Do it. You've been waiting on something from God, and he's maybe waiting on something from you, you know. So act on what you know and do it.
Yeah, I mean, let me just end in prayer for anybody, because this is a sensitive subject, and I just want to pray right now and end this. And Lord, I just want to pray for those people, Lord, that are in a state of stalemate, Lord God, where they can't move forward with you because they just don't know what they're doing is wrong. And they don't know that hindrance, Father God. And I thank you for the gift for me to be able to see it. And I just pray for those people, Lord God, who are caught in a snare because of their own will and their own actions, and they can't see that they're bringing a curse upon themselves, Father God. And I pray for your people, Lord God, and the worldly people as well that don't know that they're bringing a curse upon themselves by obedience, by the failure to be obedient in all things. And I just pray for these people, Lord God. I just pray you would give them understanding in these days. We need it, Father. And I just pray for a blessing for the rest of the night of the Bible study and for ears to receive everything that's said tonight, Father God, through the Spirit. In Christ Jesus, I pray this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Garrett, for being with us, and thank you for that testimony. Very good.
Well, thank you, David.
God bless you.